I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. Nothing like a little Van Halen to kick off your weekend. How about that? Bo Matthews, how are you, my friend?
Okay, so you're doing the air guitar move of this. And my, you know what? I don't even know why I did this. I did the air piano. Bling, and that's not manly. What am I doing?
No. Eddie Van Halen played keyboards for him. That's manly enough.
I was playing the bass.
Okay, good. Oh, Carl was playing the bass over here, like Michael Anthony. Yeah.
I'm picturing the Muppets right now. Not Muppets, my goodness.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
What a great song. Anyway, we're happy that you're with us here on Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. We have had quite the week to talk about with the vice presidential debate and, of course, the disaster that hit the east coast of the country, came up through Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina. I mean, it's just absolutely devastating what some of those folks are living through. You know, my first thought that day, Bo, is when I found out that Asheville, North Carolina was effectively cut off from the outside. Like all of the roads leading into Asheville, and I used to work in that television market, all those roads were closed. I-40 that cuts up between Asheville up into Tennessee, part of the road collapsed. They had landslide on the other side that blocked part of the road. All the little roads were washed out around Asheville. I mean, they were on an island for a while. They were having to fly in supplies, and it's just a reminder. There's something we've talked about on this show and that I've talked about on my own show a number of times, that at any given time, you are 3 to 4 days away from anarchy in this country. The minute the grocery stores run out of food, there's a natural disaster. You've read the book now, Bo, One Second After. When the electricity's out, there are no phones, you can't get to the grocery store, or if you do, everything's already been wiped out because they only give a 2 or 3 day supply at best. People start to panic. And it doesn't have to be an EMP. It doesn't have to be a war. It could be an earthquake. It could be a bad storm like this. So people have to be prepared.
What is so ironic, Mark, is the fact that you suggested the book One Second After, and I actually bought the trilogy. I'm almost to the end of the second book. The irony is that it is outside, Black Mountain, I think it was, outside of Asheville.
Yes.
Is listed in this book, right? There, and I've been living in the rabbit hole of all the videos that are coming out from, you know, 60 people found in trees dead because the waters were so high and they were being, you know, just pushed through. They're finding, you know, bodies. They're still trying to find, you know, bodies. But it is amazing to see how whole towns have been just literally wiped away in seconds. And I just saw this morning that there was mules that were being used to try and get insulin up to certain people. Insulin has to be cold. They have coolers on the back of this mule. Mules, off-road vehicles, all these things. And yes, what did they say? The government is sending 1,000 soldiers in to help, which, thank you. Kamala mentioned she was going to hand out $750 checks. Thank you. But it's a lot more than that. And I want to give a shout out to the convoy that's coming back now, probably at the time of this, from Rockford, Tennessee. Churches communicating with other churches. They brought down a ton of supplies and just hoping that they get back safely. Because when you think about what we read in that book, One Second After, and I would encourage anybody to read it, it is frightening because people within 3 days will turn into, you know, you see the videos of looting and violence. And this is all out of survival. You're just trying to survive.
You're trying to save you and yours. And that's kind of what it comes down to. And it is frightening. Thanks to the folks you're talking about who've put their money where their mouth is and actually traveled down there. They took water and other supplies, I'm assuming, right?
They did, yeah. And a big trailer was donated by Kodiak Equipment out of Barnhart. Dave Bear, great guy. And, of course, he offered up. And if you want to make a donation, contact me through Facebook messaging. I have a Venmo account that I can – I don't want to put it on the radio. But if you want to contact me directly at Bo Matthews, I can connect you. Because we're talking fuel. We're talking time away from work. We're talking about a lot of things. But, my goodness, the people are just – have nothing, literally nothing. It's so scary, but it's so ironic that you recommended that book.
Yeah, it's being set right outside of Asheville is pretty amazing as well. It really is.
And that's one area.
Yeah, that's just one area for sure.
So let's back up to the debate.
Yeah.
Because I watched it and I saw one quote that said, oh, this is how Midwesterners debate each other. You know what? I thought J.D. Vance spoke a lot eloquently. What was your take on it? I thought
Vance owned it. I mean, he did exactly what you're supposed to do in a debate. He was given 2 minutes. He would use the first minute to answer whatever he didn't get to say in the previous question or address something to his opponent and correct them. And then he spent the next moment saying, now, you know, Nora, let me address your question. And then he spent the next minute answering the question. That's what you're supposed to do in a debate. So many of these people go into a debate and they burn up all their time talking about the last question and they never get to the answer, or at least answer the question the moderators ask. I thought he did a masterful job of that, and he was clearly, he's just a natural, and he's so much smoother than Tim Walz. He made Walz look bad just based on performance, but he also gave much greater detail and plans, I thought, which is part of it. Gun control came up, right? Of course, they're going to talk about violence in schools and how dare J.D. Vance think that we just have to get used to violence in schools. Well, no, Vance talked about what needs to be talked about. They're soft targets. You've got to harden these schools. And that's what you need to do in today's world. The genie's out of the bottle. You're not going to round up all the guns and prevent criminals from getting guns. That's not going to happen. Listen to Tim Walz's response to the gun issue during this debate.
And look, I'm a hunter. I own firearms. The vice president is. We understand that the Second Amendment is there, but our first responsibility is to our kids to figure this out. In Minnesota, we've enacted enhanced red flag laws, enhanced background checks, and we can start to get data. But here's the problem. If we really want to solve this, we've got folks that won't allow research to be even done on gun violence.
That's a lie.
And this idea that we should just live with it. And here's what I do think, that this is a good start to the conversation. I 100% believe that Senator Vance hates it when these kids, it's abhorrent and it breaks your heart. I agree with that. But that's not far enough when we know there are things that worked.
Yeah. And then he went on to say, sometimes it's just the gun. It's just the gun. And I wish Vance had shut him down at that point.
I thought of you with your I'm fat because of the fork. I thought of you when he said that, actually. I've got two thoughts on it, and if I can just throw these in there. I now have a pet peeve going back to the Trump-Harris debate, and it really irked me this time, was when the moderators are saying, they cut them off, they say, we got a lot to get to. It's like, no kidding, lady. We've got a lot to get to because everything is on fire. Everything is vibrating right now. The other thing that I would suggest to this world, to this country, is to set down Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, no moderators, let's just see them talk to each other. Let's just see them talk it out, because it's almost like supervised visitation when they're doing a debate like this. And we're adults here.
And it's 3-1. It was 3-1 the other night. You had Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan, where they were smug.
We have a lot to get to.
Yeah. They were arrogant, and they fact checked. They tried to defend Walz. Governor, can you please step in here and please explain to this idiot why that's not the case? I mean, that was the tone of their questioning to Walz, but never to Vance. And I was glad Vance called him out on it. I really was. And, just proving again that you got somebody there who's ready to step up to the plate and govern if need be. And you got the other guy who's putting tampons in boys' rooms.
Yeah, I actually had a wager that that J.D. Vance was going to bring, or yeah, J.D. Vance was going to bring that up, and I'm so glad that he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, just because it was such a different timber of conversation. They both agreed on stuff. I'm thinking, well, why don't you two run as, you know, for the office then, for crying out loud, if you agree so much.
Well, and I'm glad he pointed out the truth about what's going on in Springfield as well, right? About how it's, you know, you claim these people are here legally, but now there's an app you can download at the border, and you basically go from being an illegal to supposedly having legal status just by filling out something on an app. I mean, it just defies logic. It flies in the face of our laws, and you know, that's what we learned the other night. And thank God J.D. Vance pointed that out, despite their attempts to quiet him. All right.
Early voting. No, early voting has already begun, but yes. Please encourage your family to vote.
Absolutely. Coming up here, we're going to talk to the National Director of Women's Outreach for Gun Owners of America. Antonia is something else. You need to hear from her. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got some fond memories of San Angelo, and I've seen some beauty queens in El Paso. But the best looking women that I've ever seen have all been in Texas and all wearing jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Country plowboy.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. My co-host, Mark Cox, is here. And we are arming America. We are doing the best we can to get the word out. My friends at Razorback Armory will also do that. If you're wanting to suppress a firearm, go see them at Razorback Armory. If you're looking to purchase a firearm or accessories or a safe or something like that, but especially suppressors, they specialize in that. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. They're right there on Manchester, just east of 270. And also, arming and instructing people of America in firearms is Antonia Cover. It is the National Director of Women's Outreach for Gun Owners of America. And in 2017, Antonia created the organization Empowered 2A, a women's-only nonprofit created to empower all women through the Second Amendment, firearm training, education, and so on. So, Antonia, welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I want to know where you got your love of guns, and at what part of your life did that happen? Was it childhood? Was it recently? Let's go there.
Oh, man. I would say my love actually started with the power and the beautiful foundation of the Constitution and a Bill of Rights first, before I even had a firearm. So I grew up very anti-gun, grew up in a family that was very Democrat, voted that way. And I'm going to say very like anti-gun, more so apathetic, which is most people, but even especially in Texas, right? But my parents are from Nigeria. That's, you know, Second Amendment is literally foreign to them. It wasn't until I realized that, you know, I was a feminist even at that time in college. And it was in college that I realized that if I truly actually believe this whole feminist movement at the time, then wouldn't the natural progression be that as a individual, independent woman, young woman, that I should be able to be competent and confident enough to use firearms to defend myself? And that spark is what brought me to where I am today. We're definitely not a feminist, but I'm definitely pro empowering women and flipping the narrative of people believing that to be pro-woman is to be anti-gun, and that's what the left wants you to believe, particularly as a Black woman. That's what they want you to believe as a Black person and a woman. And I said, you know what? Actually, our history shows that women and particularly African-Americans have benefited from the ability to defend themselves with firearms, and it's an equalizer. So I should be on this side of history. So that's kind of how I started.
That is amazing. I mean, I love that story that, I mean, you sort of realized this on your own. No real outside influence. It was kind of an awakening, right?
Yeah, I would say it is definitely awakening. I'm a Christian, so for there's one, the Holy Spirit changing my views on what it means to be pro-life and to defend life and protect life. When you see life as precious, then you definitely want to make sure that the people have the will and the ability to defend themselves against evil, against people who are doing evil. So I would say the Holy Spirit actually through Jesus Christ and following the Lord when I was 20 years old, changed me from the inside out. But then also realizing that if I truly believe that, there are so many other things that the Judeo-Christian beliefs, including protecting our Second Amendment right to defend ourselves, that you have to be on the side of. And so that's what brought me more into the side of liberty and the side of protecting that liberty for every individual.
Yeah. Well, you and both of those landed you squarely in the sights, so to speak, of the left in this country, right? Your Christianity and your belief in the Second Amendment. Those two things are under constant attack.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is no home. There is no safe, quote unquote, safe space for those people on the left. They've already made it very clear that you can't be those things. Maybe there was a time like that, but I saw the writing on the wall pretty early on in college. That's about 10, 15 years now, that there's no space for people like that. And so and on that side, so I went to the right, and that's where I've been since then.
Antonia Cover is the National Director of Women's Outreach for Gun Owners of America and our guest on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. There seems like there's a machine that's trying to divide this country, and that also includes dividing homes. So with this, this belief you have in arming yourself to keep yourself safe, keep your family safe, keep your fellow man safe. Have you had pushback from family? Because I actually just had a revelation just the other day from a family member. My own blood is like offended that not only do I own guns, that I actually have a radio show to talk about it. Have you had that same experience, and how do you deal with it?
Oh man, that's the thing about, yes, for short answer, yes, I still deal with that today. It's a work in progress. I finally getting my sisters to go to the range, my mom to go to the range, with me. Nice. And, you know, at least the firearm safety aspect. But I mean, even that, I mean, you're seeing what you're seeing with Kamala Harris and all these people on the left now trying to make it seem like they've always been pro Second Amendment because they might have a gun in their vicinity. But, that's been the tactic of especially, the anti-gun side the last few years now. So just owning a gun and firearm safety is fine. But when it comes down to, like you said, having a voice and saying that you're going to protect that right and you're going to teach other people about it, that's where, you know, this quote unquote liberal, which is supposed to be about free mind and free education, right? At the end of the day, it's about squelching your voice if you are pro Second Amendment. So you can keep it to yourself, but once you start speaking about it and teaching about it, that's where people draw the line.
And you know what a shame. Here's the thing I've wondered, and I know that you brought up Harris, and she's had very limited tough questions from anybody in the media, but in the instance where she brought up about the fact that she's a gun owner. And even the other night in the vice presidential debate where Tim Walz said Kamala Harris and I are gun owners, I wanted J.D. Vance to look at him and say, okay, stop right there. Tell me what kind of gun you own and tell me what kind of gun she owns. I want the name, right, the model, when the last time was you put your finger on the trigger and you shot it. Tell me, Vice President Harris, what gun do you own, and exactly who are you going to shoot if they break into the Naval Observatory? I've got questions.
Absolutely. And the thing is, even if they happen to get someone, a great speechwriter or somebody, to finally, you know, get the model and make and actually say that they're going to say this is my firearm, at the end of the day, I think comes down back to it is that it's an elitist idea and elitist push of to believe. I mean, they've had firearms, whether it's through them actually individually having a firearm or more so and more likely that they've paid security or we've paid as taxpayers taxpayers to secure them. But most people are not going to have the resources and the money to be able to accommodate or have somebody else be their protection at 24/7,
yes.
Right? So police officers, as well of a job as they do, they're there in minutes when things happen in seconds. So that's why the Founding Fathers had the foresight to be able to know that as common people, we should protect the common person's ability to defend themselves and protect themselves and not have to put up the financial resources in order for someone else to do it for them. And so that's why if they can talk about being a gun owner all they want, but if their policies and what they actually implement keeps freedom-loving, honest people from being able to have the choice and ability to use a firearm for themselves and buy that firearm that they get to have as well, then they're not on the side of the Second Amendment, period. And that's just what it is.
You know, one of your missions is to not only be the spokesperson for GOA, but you also are trying to increase membership in the GOA, and you're reaching out, is what our information says, growing demographics of gun owners, women, African-Americans, Latinos, and others. When you have these conversations, and I have them on a daily basis, for people that I know that own firearms, do you encourage them to vote? And what is your response? Because there's a lot of gun owners. We know there's, you know, thousands and thousands of gun owners that just don't even think about voting. They're just all about their guns. We need to talk to them more about voting. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think the statistic is about 10 million gun owners who are not registered to vote yet. That's just the ones that we know of course. So, and that spans so many different demographics. I know we talk about the racial demographics or gender, you know, demographics, male and female. But I mean, even in different sects of the 2A community of hunters, right? Of different people who have a firearm, whether it's, you know, a long gun, a rifle, or a handgun, all I have to say is that if you want any of those to be protected, right, not just one or the other, one over the other is okay, but you want every single one of them to be protected, you've got to be on the side of voting for the people who are going to protect them. And that's supposed to be our legislators. They're supposed to be protecting that right, whether they have an R or a D or an L behind their name. It doesn't matter. So that's what GOA is about. We've always been about keeping every single person who says that they're a lawmaker, who says they're protecting our rights, accountable.
Yeah.
And so that also means that we need the help of our supporters and the people who are their constituents in order to make sure that they know that we're watching them. And so, yeah, it comes down to, man, the way that they're going to actually do something is if they know that lady or that man is going to vote for them or against them.
Yeah.
So we need you. We need you to go register and we need you to vote.
Boy, I hope people are taking that seriously because I preach it on my radio show every day. I know that trying to get people to wake up and understand that your vote does count. People tend to forget that sometimes. So Antonia, about your work with GOA, how do you reach out? What's the effort you're using through Empower 2A to get to these groups that you're trying to empower?
Yeah, so we do this through a multi-tiered system. I'd say starting out with getting them trained, getting them educated. We have these women's only range days. We've had on the state level for a couple years now, and then this year was our inaugural national women's range day that we had in the Dallas area in March during International Women's Day weekend. So that's how we kind of take back that narrative about what that looks like. We had almost 300 women come out to the range just in Dallas, Texas alone and
awesome.
Go out and learn how to shoot, most of them for the first time ever. But we also had confrontational politics training. We had political workshops. We got these women knowing about what I just talked about, how we keep our politicians accountable, the GOA way, the no compromise way. And we let them know, look, red flag laws, not only are they bad, they're actually even more harmful for women. Shall not be infringed. This is what it means when we say shall not be infringed. It means no compromise. It really is. So things like that, just simple education, but also, of course, getting them on the range, getting them to learn to use a firearm in a safe environment with other women on the same journey. That's what our training events are about. So We've had one in Michigan, in Lansing, in Flint. We just had over almost 200 women in Flint just a couple weeks ago. We had over 120 women in Pittsburgh just last week. So we're training these women, getting them involved as GOA members. They're automatically GOA members when they sign up. It's $20. It's really, it's honestly free for them. It doesn't cover any of the ammo or lunch or, you know, training we really provide, but it's really just a way for us to help the community be educated and trained so then that they can go out and advocate for the Second Amendment. And that's what we do.
Yeah. When are you coming to St. Louis?
Oh man. You know, I'm not that far right now. I'm in Indiana. So
okay. Swing by.
We'll have to do that. We do have some plans to get over there in St. Louis. So I think that's coming in the next year.
Good. Good.
Okay. Let me just take this real quick. I just want to ask a question. You know, there's a divide, if you will, because gun training, you think, you know, most people I think would think, you know, strong men are going to teach how to do firearms. And now you have you, don't you think that bridges that gap that, hey, it's not a male sport. It's not a male event. Women are, and actually my wife has a better shot than I am because she's, you know, she's got calm blood pressure and, you know, pulse and true. It's true. So that's why I stay on the straight and narrow. But what do you think that difference is when it comes to a woman's mind being instructed by a man and the difference being instructed by you, Antonia?
Yeah. So this is why I'm a trainer myself. I'm NRA certified. I'm also USCCA/National African American Gun Association certified. So I've had my own journey. Like I said, I started out with the gun rights side before I even got a gun. So for me, this journey has been something I keep on the forefront because I remember how scary it was to finally get on the range for the first time and shoot. Because you have such a bad idea of what it looks like. That's all you see in the media. And especially that's all they target with women is that guns are bad and scary. And it's part of the culture to have a firearm. So with all of that already in the forefront, and then add on top of that, the fact that 70% of women who buy firearms for the first time buy them for self-defense. It's because I know from as being a sexual assault survivor myself, most of these women are survivors. So you're adding trauma on top of that as well. But women have decided, okay, well, yes, I've had all this stuff in the background, but you know what? I'm going to make the decision to go and purchase a firearm. It's a different, unique way that women are going into the firearm industry. And so I think there's something that this to be said that other women understand the incentive of why a lot of women are buying firearms. They're buying it because they finally realize, you know what? I've had this trauma, I've had these issues, but that is not going to stop me from then protecting myself and taking power back in my own hands. I'm getting my power back. I'm not going to be a victim, nor am I going to be a victim again, because a lot of people become victims again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see my daughter be a victim or my friends be a victim. You know, so that is the message. Over 8 million. And so we had 8 million new gun owners just on that's a very conservative number during COVID, right? 2019 and 2021. That's the numbers that even Harvard pushed out. Of those, 48% of those are women. So obviously there's something to be said about it.
Yep.
And just one more caveat to that is that the concealed carry purses that are offered on the market are awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I could do the fanny pack for crying out loud. But anyway,
we'll get you a man purse, Tony, for being, we'll get what? You a, we're going to get you a man purse.
It's called a merce, if you will.
Yeah, get it
no,
right.
They're cool, though.
We have Lena Michalik. She has that great purse fanny pack, and she's been doing fanny packs before it became popular again. So I love to see it. I love to see women, you know, pushing that. But yeah, fanny packs are for guys and girls. So,
well, Antonia Covert, thank you so much for giving us some time today. We'll send people to, is gunowners.org the best website?
Yes, gunowners.org is the best website.
We appreciate that. Antonia, pleasure meeting you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take care of yourself
there. Adding fanny pack to my cart right now.
Yeah, the Bo Matthews fanny pack. That's it. All right, it's that time of year. It's fall. We're going to talk to our friends from Stuckmeyer's Farm when we come back. Stay tuned. getting a little taste of that fall weather. I mean, hopefully the heat is gone and we're going to get some moderate temperatures for a while and some beautiful weather now that all the rain from last week has moved out. So a good excuse to get outdoors, Bo Matthews.
It is, Mark Cox. It certainly is. And you said the heat is on. That would be another great song that Carl Middleman could play.
I'll get it on.
But you know, people get so excited about this time of the year because, you know, the farms open up and welcome guests, which they do most of the year anyway. But for the fall festivals, that's awesome. But we have farmer Phil LaCrone from Stuckmeyer's Farm. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
How are you guys? Doing well.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. Fourth generation family owned vegetable farm right there just south of St. Louis between Fenton and Arnold. I'm sure photo ops are all over the place and it's going to be a lot of fun. And they've got some information about people that, you know, maybe can't get out on the weekend. So we want to talk about all that Stuckmeyer's offers. So bring it on, Phil.
Well, let's see. During the week, we do a lot of school tours. So we have a lot of preschool schools that come out. We offer one of the better hay rides in St. Louis. I'd say one of the best. It goes along, it's about a 20-minute ride, goes along a spring-fed creek with along a bluff where trees are starting to change now a little bit. With it being dry, we'll see how it's going to turn out, but they are starting to turn. We have our U-Pick pumpkin patch, the Fort Spooky, which is a playground for the kids to play in. It's got a mini corn maze in there. On the weekends, we have a full-size corn maze going. We offer pony rides, barrel rides, inflatables. We also, as you said, we have our market open. We have really nice mums that we grow. We make kettle corn on the weekends, and we're set up for fun family times. So the whole family can come out, enjoy this weather, and see what we do on our farm here.
I'll bet. Now, Phil, I remember when I was growing up, we used to go to this is in Ohio, but years ago. But we used to go to a farm that was not too far away, and where you could get pumpkins and all that. And they had a pumpkin cannon that you could fire. Have you ever considered adding one of those to the festivities?
No, we haven't. We're limited on space, even for parking. So I guess we could start shooting cars. But
there you go. Yeah.
So, but no, we're always looking for ideas, but not that one.
I automatically gravitate back to firearms. So sorry about that. I apologize for that.
Well, it is Second Amendment.
Well, so, I do a lot of hunting, but I don't hunt with the pumpkins.
I just wondered because I know that you got so much going on out there. Tell us about what's there for the kids. What is Fort Spooky?
Fort Spooky is our playground area. We have two very large commercial rainbow play systems in there that's got slides and tunnels. We make a small corn maze that the smaller kids can go through. For the full families, they can go out in our big corn maze. But the Fort Spooky it's got tunnels in there, slides, all kinds of fun stuff for the kids to do. There's actually a seating area for the parents to sit and watch. And if the sun comes out, gets sit in the shade there.
That's awesome. Phil LaCrone is our guest. And he is from Stuckmeyer's Farm. If you've never been, it's a great destination for your family. And again, for little ones and photo ops, definitely a place you want to go to. You know what? I want to talk pumpkins with you, sir, because I've been seeing pumpkins that are way different colors than I ever remember. Of course, we remember the orange ones and the whiter ones, or off-white, I guess it would be. And I just saw a couple of things, and it could be Photoshop on Facebook or Instagram, but I'm seeing blue ones and pink ones and yellow ones. Are they growing those like now, that now or no?
Yes, they are. And it's funny you mentioned that. We have a lot of those. Some are called Cinderella pumpkins. Some are actually called blues. There's Hubbards. There's all different colors of those. And they make great decorations for your porches, and they go great with the pumpkins. We have a huge selection of those right now.
Wow. That'd be pretty. I honestly don't know if I've ever come across one. I mean, maybe I've been going to more run-of-the-mill pumpkin places because, I've not seen a blue pumpkin.
Variety. Oh, that's cool.
You have to be – they're tough to grow, and you got to get them when they ripen, but – if you pick them too early, then they want to get soft and rot on you. So,
I see.
But there's all different varieties, and every year they come out with more different kinds. We try a little bit each year, and we picked a bunch yesterday with them.
So I have to ask, if you cook with them, is the food blue?
Not on the inside.
Okay, I just wondered because I had to ask because, you know, I mean, a pumpkin is orange on the outside. If you make a pumpkin pie, it's orange. I didn't know if maybe a blue pumpkin would make a blue pie.
No. Okay. A little food coloring, though.
Yeah, a little food coloring would do the trick for you. That's good.
You know, Phil, I grew up in Minnesota in my younger years, and we would go down to Iowa because they grow pumpkins, I guess, there too. And there's always that one farmer that grows that, you know, 700-pound blah, blah, blah. Have you guys ever gotten into that business of growing one of those gigantic pumpkins?
We grow big ones, but not the gigantic. The guys that grow the gigantic ones, they're almost 10 to 2, 24 hours a day. They start off finding the best seed. They'll pay a lot of money for one of those. They put them, when they plant them, they find the best bloom and the best pumpkin that started, and then they remove the rest of the bloom, so they're only feeding that one pumpkin.
Oh, wow.
Eventually,
oh,
wow. They put it underneath a little, like some people I've seen have put them under like a little trampoline so they don't rot, and then they cover them. If the sun's too hot, they'll cover them up and all that. They do much better larger up north because they have longer sunlight in the summers.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. What's the biggest one you can get at Stuckmeyer's?
Oh, we got 60-pounders, 60, 65-pounders.
That's pretty good.
So, that's a little bit to pick up. Once in a while, we'll get them up to 80, 90 pounds. So, but it's a unique thing, so...
Well, yeah, I hope people are listening and thinking of, if you're thinking about going to a farm, check out Stuckmeyer's. You guys have been around for a long time. And here's the thing, for people that haven't been down there, it's not just on the weekend. You mentioned earlier that you entertain some school groups and that through the week, but families can come out as well, right?
Oh, definitely. The crowds are less. We have the playground area to go. We offer that hayride all day long. And we have our vegetable market open, Mums, the pumpkin patch. We actually built a Stuckmeyer's storefront by the pumpkin patch for, as you mentioned, photo ops. We have sunflowers growing and lots of farm scenery that people can come out and enjoy. Fresh air.
Well, I'll tell you, just a quick search on Amazon, and you can find some pretty cool pumpkin carving tools and kits and machines, you know, battery-operated, Bluetooth. I don't know what they offer, but, you know, Amazon Days is coming up. Unrelated to Stuckmeyer's, but kind of related, you guys have often used the parking right there across from the Pink Elephant before. Now there's a building going in. I guess it's a new gas station. Is that going to hinder your parking efforts? And is that the Pink Elephant rebuilding, or is that another gas station?
That is another gas station. So,
wow.
That it's not going to hinder our parking too much. We have made more parking back on our farm. And what was nice about that is we could park up there, shut off the back, and get cars. But now we have figured out in the back we'll have more additional parking. So we should be in good shape. So,
that's great.
But yeah.
Well, I just mentioned because I've got a neighbor who really does it up for Halloween every year. You've got the corn stalks available for people if they want to come show up down there, straw bales, things like that.
Oh, yeah. We can't hardly keep up with the corn stalks. We're chopping corn every night and tying it in the mornings. We put them in bundles. We have Indian corn, corn stalks, and like you mentioned, we have lots of the blues and all those different colored pumpkins this year. So lots of items.
Should be a lot of fun. You've also got fresh vegetables that you mentioned, and are you growing those at the farm and selling them?
Oh yes, that's
everything.
We're mainly vegetable growers. We start with flowers in the spring, then grow vegetables all summer long. Right now, we're still doing some summer crops as okra, but we're getting to the fall crops of green beans. We'll have some cabbage and lettuce and onions and all the stuff that you can grow in the cooler weather.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we hope it's a great season for you. Phil LaCrone, a farmer over at Stuckmeyer's Farm. If you've never been, make it a destination. It's a fourth-generation family-owned vegetable farm. It's located just south of St. Louis between Fenton and Arnold on 141 and Highway 21. And again, if you can't make it out on the weekends, the days that they're open during the week you're open 7 days a week for like fall decorations and all that stuff. Right, Phil?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. Well, that is the outdoors portion of the show.
Outstanding.
Of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We hope you have a great season this year. Now, when does this farm shut down to the public in the winter?
1 November.
All right. So you get to the end of October to get in there. Absolutely. All right, Phil, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Once again, the dates for fall 2024 at Stuckmeyer's Farm down in Fenton. Now through October 31st, Halloween, the Halloween Family Fun Days, the Pumpkin Patch, and Fort Spooky. This Sunday, October 6th, the 27th Annual Tractor Show. Next weekend, on the 12th, the Backstopper Barbecue. More information at stuckmeyers.com. And that will do it for
Second Amendment Radio and the Grand Outdoors.
See you, boys.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.